Alex Shepard is a 24-year-old American patriot who was just sentenced to 19 months in jail plus 2 years of probation. Why? For his peaceful parade through the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Federal prosecutors have tried to smear Alex. They claim that he harbored some convoluted plan to overthrow the U.S. government, despite not carrying any weapons at all. So the real reason that the feds are so concerned with Shepard, we'll say it, of course, is that he is a threat to expose the real story of the January 6th Fedsurrection. Because on that day, Alex was very close to John Sullivan, better known as Jaden X, who, according to recent interviews, worked directly with Ray Epps to try to stoke chaos on that day. But Jaden, like Ray Epps himself, is being protected by the media, so they can instead try to lock up harmless patriots like Alex Shepard for years on end. We want to know the real story about what happened there. We want to know firsthand. That's why Alex Shepard is with us. Alex, thank you so much for coming. We're so sorry for what's happening to you here. And thank you for doing it with a morally upright position.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I think that what they're really going after here is Americans' First Amendment, not just our First Amendment right to peacefully protest. But it's been made very clear very early on that if, you know, I took one of those plea deals where I go and re-educate myself on civics or whatever, and you know, as if we were trying to overthrow democracy, or if I disavowed Trump, or if I stopped speaking about the stolen election, my consequences were going to be much less severe than they are now.
So you actually had an agreement that was tabled for you that if you were to disavow President Trump, that the sentencing that was pushed your way would be a lot lighter?
No, it was inferred, but I made it very clear early on, even in the days right after January 6th, that I was going to continue speaking about election fraud. That's why they gave me the felony charge, where they gave other people misdemeanors whose conduct was arguably much worse than mine.
So let's get down to brass tacks here. All the viewers, you know, of this program understand what January 6th was all about. We know what this is. There's a lot of facets to this, of course. There's a lot of motivations for the government to do this. We know about the Ukrainian spies that were there. You know, we know about Antifa being there. Kevin McCarthy released the tapes to one person, Tucker Carlson, who released a few minutes of it, put out his own narrative about what he wanted to release and what he thought that it was. But we still don't have the full unredacted, unedited, you know, tapes. So you were there. Let's get down to brass tacks. I mean, what happened there? Who was there? What was Jaden X doing? What was Ray Epps doing? Did you see Antifa there? What happened?
Yeah, so I got to Washington, D.C. around 6 o'clock in the morning. I drove up the night before by myself. And when I got there, within 5 minutes, I met a family. You know, they brought their kids up from Texas, and a family from California both drove up to protest that day. You know, there were more than a million people there to protest the election. When I got there at 6 a.m., there was a miles-long line wrapped around the Washington Monument just to get in to see President Trump speak. And, you know, I walked around and I met some people, and somehow or another, there was a big gap in the line. So I managed to get ahead in the line. And then some of the people that I met earlier, I saw while we were waiting outside. And they saw me and they waved me up. So I actually managed to get in past Secret Service and the security checkpoints and everything to see Trump's speech that day. So they obviously knew that I had no weapons or anything like that. I was about fifth or sixth row to see President Trump's speech. And I stayed there throughout the entire speech, which we now know that the Capitol was breached before his speech was over. But that being said, after his speech ended, I marched towards the Capitol. And then while we're outside the Capitol, things were getting a little hectic because, you know, we're starting to feel tear gas in our eyes and things like that. And like, there's, you know, old ladies and children around me. It's like, why are we being tear gassed? So made me think a little less rationally than I was throughout the day. And then you look at the side of the building, one of the corners of the Capitol building, there was this scaffolding up. And it's funny, the prosecutors actually say that I climbed up the scaffolding to get up to the staircase to go and walk into the Capitol building, but actually it was like the wallpaper of the scaffolding totally just came down. And then there was a staircase that opened up. So I walked up this staircase, following other people up this staircase, and then walked up another staircase. And next thing you know, I'm in the Capitol building. And everyone around me was peaceful from what I saw. Now, the prosecutors pointed out that there was a broken window when I walked into the Capitol building off to the side somewhere. And they said, there's no way that you couldn't have seen that broken window. But honestly, I didn't. So I walked into the building and, you know, people were getting rowdy. People were chanting, you know, USA and stuff like that. But once again, I saw no actual violence. Then what ends up happening is we go through these different rooms, and it was funny. In my trial, you could see, first of all, most of the evidence that they had against me came from my own cell phone, because I didn't realize we were committing a federal crime. So I was recording it, and I was recording certain parts and taking pictures and stuff. You actually see me on the Capitol TV footage, going around, and you see me like look at a George Washington painting and take a picture of it. You know, I was pretty peaceful, and I didn't destroy any property or anything like that. At one point, while we were doing some chants, I knocked on a door a couple times. The prosecutors tried to make it seem like that was the door to the House chamber or whatever. It wasn't, and we made that clear in trial. But you know, it's funny how they use this charged language to really exaggerate my behavior that day. Instead of saying I walked into the building, which is what I did, they say I stormed the building. And instead of referring to the protesters around me, they called it my violent mob. And you know, and then instead of saying I knocked on that door three times, I wasn't consistently pounding doors. But that's what they said. They said I was pounding on the doors. So anyways, then we were outside the House chamber, and I sent you a video, which I think we're going to get to. But I forgot that even happened. We'll get to that. But so we're standing outside the Capitol doors, and then things are getting a little rowdy. People are yelling at police officers. I was raising my voice at some of the Capitol police officers, saying things like, we supported you. We supported you when BLM and Antifa were killing you guys. I was yelling that at them. And next thing you know, the window breaks, and you see me on footage. You know, I'm like right up near the front. And you saw in my trial that I actually started, when I saw they were breaking that window by that Capitol police officer, I started actually backing up like, whoa, this is getting out of hand. And then unfortunately, they shot Ashley Babbitt. I was about 10 to 15 feet away from her when that happened. And then after that, they kept saying, everyone clear the way. We're going to bring in a medic. We're going to bring in medics to help her out. And instead, a ton of guys with riot shields came in, pushed everyone out. I followed the orders from a Capitol police officer who escorted me out of the building, which really, you know, I was a 21-year-old. I didn't even know what building I was in, to be honest with you. I was just in the building, and prosecutors asked me during trial, well, there was a door right there. Why didn't you leave at this point? It's like, I couldn't have left the building if I wanted to, because I had no clue how I even got into the building, much less how I would have been able to get out. But a police officer escorted me out, and I complied. And then, I drove home after all of that. And so, yeah, that's what happened on January 6th. And yes, John Sullivan from Antifa was apparently right next to me. I've reported on John Sullivan on my Rumble channel. I posted his chat logs of Antifa, which now have over 25,000 views on my Rumble channel. So the prosecutors made it clear in my sentencing, because, you know, I went to trial in Washington, D.C. For the felony, obstruction of a proceeding, and five misdemeanors. The lowest plea they were going to offer me was to the felony. We tried even to negotiate with the government. We tried to offer a felony civil disorder or whatever, with a 0 to 6 month recommendation. That way they could still label me a felon. But the prosecutors didn't want that. Then we tried a misdemeanor with a high sentencing range of about 25 to 35 months, because it would have been 20 to 24 if I would have taken the plea. And they said, no, we want to make him a felon and we want to throw him in jail. So I went to trial, DC jury. Jury pool was about 95% Democrats. The DOJ, of course, struck all the Republicans or any of the reasonable Democrats. Like, there was this old lady who was like, well, I think it was a bad day. And, you know, I think these people who think this about the election are stupid. And she goes, but, you know, I've got a lot of family members who are Trump supporters, and I think they're such idiots. She goes, but it does look like they were letting people into the building that day. And we're sitting there like, shut up, lady, shut up, because we wonder on our jury. And sure enough, they struck her. And you know, we're, you know, the jury pool basically consisted of lobbyists, people who worked in government. I didn't have a single Republican on my jury. I didn't have a single straight white male on my jury either. So that's why a lot of us are questioning whether we can get a fair trial in Washington, D.C., composed of a jury of our peers. But anyway, so they convicted me on 5 of the 6 counts, not on one of the misdemeanors. But then I went to sentencing just a couple days ago, and the government made it clear that they did not like that I continued to post about Joe Biden being an illegitimate president and saying that there was widespread election fraud. And they also didn't like that I pointed out that Antifa planned to storm the Capitol that day and that the FBI was involved as well. So they said that my observations there meant that I had no remorse and no acceptance of responsibility, even though I was remorseful and still am, that I shouldn't have entered the building that day. But they think that that means that I shouldn't be allowed to make other observations about what occurred. So anyways, the prosecutor recommended 37 months for me in my sentencing, and it ended up being 19 months, 1 year and 7 months probation, or excuse me, 1 year and 7 months incarceration, along with 2 years probation and about $3,200 in fines.
So this is a kangaroo court, obviously. Your jury that you described, the whole thing is set up. They're criminalizing free speech. They're criminalizing the First Amendment. They're criminalizing any dissent to an illegitimate pedophile in the White House. Even though we know, and you know, let's just say the outside chance that this was the most secure election in the history of the country, like Whoopi Goldberg wants to tell you. If you have any doubts or have any questions and you're not allowed to ask them, If you're not allowed to petition the government to redress your grievances, when you're looking at President Trump, who's facing all of these charges in the state of Georgia for a criminal conspiracy, for literally tweeting and asking for legislators to look into this, to investigate this, what does that tell you about where we are as a country?
Well, exactly, right? And that's what you do. If you steal an election, the first thing you do after you steal an election is you go and you lock up the protesters. So they really have proven our point about the election. And the irony here is that the felony, obstruction of an official proceeding, I was charged and convicted. People in Washington, D.C. apparently believe that I myself stopped the certification of the election, which in of itself is election interference. And the irony here is, setting aside all the election fraud, maladministration, and election interference in the 2020 election, you look at the 2024 election, and like you said, Donald Trump is facing 300, 400 years in prison, even the death penalty for some of these charges. And, you know, they're setting these trials in March, the day before Super Tuesday, all throughout the election. And the irony, of course, is that that in itself is election interference, and the newest and most prevalent and pervasive form of election interference that we have in America today is that of lawfare and using the federal government to go after your political opposition, those who support him. And it really is banana republic stuff. It's the kind of thing that we really never imagined would have happened in the United States of America.
So what are the options that are left for Americans? Where are we at? What do we do?
Well, so, I took the route that I'm going to continue using my First Amendment, regardless of the consequences, because, I look at those people who have been in the DC jail this whole time. I'm lucky enough that I've only spent a day in jail so
You
far.
know, this shit really pisses me off. I have to be honest here. I've got to be, this is a human moment, okay? This really pisses me off because what makes me nervous is not what's happening to you because I've seen it now. And look, I mean, let's just be 100% vulnerable here. A lot of people are calloused to this. A lot of people have scales to this. A lot of people have been desensitized to the fact that there are still hundreds of people, prisoners of war, American citizens being held as POWs on US soil for being escorted by police officers through the People's Building. This is bullshit, okay? And so it pisses me off, but what makes me the most nervous isn't what's happening to you or those grown men in there. What makes me nervous is the country that we're leaving our kids and the future that we're leaving them. Basically just says that you're going to accept authoritarian one world governance. You are going to be a serf class of slaves that bows to the authoritarian overlords, or you're going to be incarcerated in the gulag. That's what we're leaving them if we don't do something. And so I'm really genuinely seriously looking for ideas from people who seem to have, a good collective way of thinking. What do we do? Okay, so they call this a violent insurrection. More BS. Nobody brought a gun. Nobody shot anybody except for the cops or somebody dressed up like one. Nobody died, other than the people that were murdered by the Capitol Police and some guy that had a heart attack. I mean, so we know what happened to Roseanne Boylan. We know what happened to these people. We know that. So the violence was 100% perpetrated. Can you imagine what would have happened if everybody you mentioned the Washington Monument being completely surrounded and the mall just being filled with people? Can you imagine if every one of them really wanted to overthrow the government and brought guns? Then they would have seen a violent insurrection and they probably would have been successful in overthrowing the government in a violent insurrection. Just like, by the way, our CIA affected in 2014 in Ukraine. That's what our government did. That's what our intelligence apparatus did. They went in there and they violently removed a democratically elected administration where both sides agreed that it was a fair election. But we didn't like that because that Ukrainian administration started to address, adopt more Russia policies, pro-Russia policies. We can't have that. And so then they had the BLM style popular uprising that they employed our media to make it look like. And then they stole an election and they rigged it. And in comes Zelensky. It's the same tactics that they practiced there that they implemented here in 2020. And now that they found a successful formula in Ukraine and here in this country, weapons confiscation is right around the corner. That's looming. So they want to disarm us. They've told us what they want to do. So what are the options? What do the masses of Americans who don't want this, who don't want to leave that country for their children, what action should they take? I mean, yes, speaking out, making people aware is fine. All that does is agitate people and piss people off. We've been doing it here for 2.5 years. Yes, we've warned people. Yes, we've saved lives. But as for this situation here, not being able to petition the government to redress your grievances or question an election without facing the death penalty in Trump's case, but yet it's hyperbolic for me to say these people killed millions of innocent people with a bioweapon injection, and if they're indicted and tried, they should be fried and they should be executed. And then I'm some kind of a domestic terrorist for saying that, even though these people literally killed millions of people. On January 6th, nobody killed anybody other than the government, and all President Trump did was petition the government to redress his grievances.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ukraine. Now the great defender of democracy, Zelensky, is looking to stop his upcoming election because he says that because we're in a time of war,
And that's going to
we
happen
don't.
here. That's going to happen here. I've been saying this. Look, we're at war with Russia. We're at a war of pandemics. We're in a war against mis and disinformation, and we're in a war against seditionists who want to overthrow the government.
And climate change.
And a war against, and likely a civil war if they keep pushing like this, because that's what they want. That's what our enemy wants. That's what these people want, so they can use it as the means for justification to go door to door confiscating weapons by force if necessary.
So I think that eventually the Supreme Court is going to have to look at all of this. I mean, they've been putting it off for way too long. We have so many appeals going, myself and other January 6th defendants. We have countless appeals, which some of them we think will make it up to the Supreme Court, hopefully. But in terms of what we can do, yes, continuing to speak out, which I know this is still happening, but we got to get Trump back in office. This is the only way this gets fixed, is if we go out and we make them steal an election again. But then we're going to have to really, you know, we need poll watchers everywhere. We need ballot observers everywhere. We need phones, cameras out, because when it happened in 2020, the American people weren't really awake to how far they would go. I think now, according to polls, even most Republicans think the election was rigged. I think even most Democrats believe the election was rigged at this point. So we've got to really wake up and take this next election seriously, because they are going to try all the same tricks with the mail-in ballots. They're going to use COVID or whatever else they have. They're going to do climate lockdowns. We've got to find a way. We've got to get Trump back in office. And that's the only way this gets fixed, because we need retribution. And you know, it's not pretty to talk about. It's not one of those shiny campaign promises for most people, but it's one that I'm most excited about. Because I think that these people who are in charge, running our government, throwing their political opposition in jail, they're fascists, they're communists, they're not Americans, and really, they deserve to be held accountable more than anyone else.
Yeah, extreme and permanent accountability in a lot of cases, especially throughout most of the three-letter, you know, bureaucracies in our federal government. But, you know, I got to ask you, for a guy who is still pushing these shots, for a guy who didn't pardon Julian Assange, for a guy who didn't pardon Edward Snowden, do you really think he's going to pardon you?
100%. Yes. And he's the only one.
Based on what, Alex? I'm curious.
Yeah. Based on conversations I've had with people who are close to him, based on the fact that, you know, we know that Ron DeSantis isn't going to do it. Ron DeSantis's team, his rapid response director, Christina Pushaw, last night actually retweeted somebody wishing harm on me in prison and then quickly unretweeted it, but I captured it on a screenshot. You know, Ron DeSantis is full of shit, frankly, when he says that he's going to pardon people. I think Vivek would, but no, Trump is the guy for the job. He's going to do it because he sees what's been happening. And, you know, he said he was the first person, really first prominent politician, to say that Ashley Babbitt was murdered. He called Michael Byrd a thug. And he said that he is going to be looking to pardon people. And frankly, I think he should pardon every single person on January 6th.
Put this up on the screen, because he was just talking about this. Alex Shepard on Twitter, he said, Ron DeSantis's team does not make me feel very supported as a January 6th defendant. And what Alex was just talking about here, put this up, I'm going to look at it here. Christina Pushaw says, solid retort, Alex, really pro-level stuff. Maybe in prison you'll learn what real grooming is, and perhaps when you're out, you too will do something to fight it like I do every single day of my life. Best wishes. She's mocking you for going to prison.
She retweeted that. It was initially said by Jamie something, the Gays Against Groomers lady, Jamie Mitchell. And, you know, she responded to my post where I said I was sentenced to 1 year and 7 months. And she's a big DeSantis supporter, or DeSimp, as some people call him. And she said that and she initially commented saying, oh, it's a shame that Trump pardoned Kodak Black and Lil Wayne instead of you. So I said, aren't you that groomer who cosplays as a conservative? She responded with that, and Christina Pushaw retweeted that response. Now, I think she meant to do that from one of her burner accounts that Team DeSantis has been known to have a lot of them, but she foolishly retweeted that from her own personal account on the same night that Ron DeSantis last night went on Newsmax, went on Eric Bolling's show to talk about how the sentences for January 6th defendants are ridiculous, and he would look at commuting and pardoning some. But still, you know, he wasn't very clear about specifically who he would pardon. And no, he's full of it. And I can guarantee you that when Trump is back in office, he is going to be pardoning a lot of these people. I really do hope that he pardons Julian Assange as well.
I don't know why he just doesn't come out and say it. That's what he just needs to do. He needs to say what he's going to do. One of the four agreements that I'm implementing in my life right now, one of the four is be impeccable with your word. If you say you're going to do something, then you do it. Be impeccable with your word. Choose them very carefully. Make sure that you say what you mean and that you mean what you say. There's no reason that if that's his intent, that he doesn't come out and just say, when I am reelected president, I'm going to pardon 100% of the nonviolent January 6th patriots who were asking and petitioning the government to redress their grievances, who were there to question their voices being stolen away from them, their president, their election process, their representative two-party government system. I'm going to pardon them. I'm going to. He needs to make that promise. Otherwise, it's all bullshit and it's all a movie and it's all fake, just like everything else we're watching is all fake, except for the fact what's not fake, your 19 months in prison isn't fake. The sacrifices that you're making for this country based on exercising your First Amendment right to peaceably assemble, to petition the government, to redress your grievances, to be heard at the people's house, and to exercise the freedom of speech, that's not fake. So the guy needs to come out and say it. Other than that, it's all hearsay and it's all speculation. There's no reason why he can't come out and say it. We're going to be praying for you. I'm out of time. Alex Shepard, thank you so much for being here. Here's another thing. You know, Alex was talking about solutions. I'll just say another thing. Here's a solution. Get organized. Start getting organized right now. All of the guns that you have, buy more ammo. If you don't have a bunch of food saved up, start saving up some food. We're talking about the 2024 elections not even happening here. I think that's a very real possibility, along with the likelihood that they're just going to assassinate Donald Trump, assassinate Joe Biden, and blame it on a white supremacist. These are things that we need to start getting ready for, and the people in your neighborhood, and the people on your block, and the people two blocks down, and the people in your town, and the people in your city, and the people in your county, and the people in your state, you all better know each other, and you all better have a plan. Because if you think that they're not coming for you, you're absolutely wrong. We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or go to goldco.com/stew.
I'm going to fill this box here, and I'm going to try to replicate the indoor environment that most people face anywhere in the world today. The more energy efficient that we become, the more airtight that we make our houses, the more toxic it is for our environment. Our technology is vibrating the air at a rate of speed. Anything that is 0.001 microns or larger does not stand a chance in the presence of not only photocatalytic oxidation, but needlepoint negative ionization. We're sending out an ion wave that is going through walls, doors, floors, carpets, paddings, draperies, and it's synergistically vibrating the air, and it's going to drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance. Now, this is where you're going to come in. You can mop this matter, you can vacuum it, you can sweep it, but our technology is going to make sure that you're not continuously breathing this in.
Here's a question. You ever feel like your pain is holding you back? How many of you aren't able to go on a walk with your grandchildren because your knees hurt too much? This is the reality for millions of people over 50. They suffer from pain that can make it difficult to get around, to sleep, to enjoy life. But there is a brand new product that can help you get your life back. QE Strong Pain Patches are made with natural ingredients that are extremely safe, and they work. Just simply apply one patch to the affected area and you'll feel relief in minutes. If you're tired of living with pain, try QE Strong Pain Patches today. Go to qestrong.com/stew. Again, that's qestrong.com/stew. So, are you mad about what's happening in this country? A little bit upset, at least, mildly frustrated at minimum? Just look around. Hundreds of billions of dollars going to fund literal neo-Nazis in Ukraine. A fake proxy war. Enriching all of these fat cats in the DC Beltway. NGOs. Lockheed Martin. Raytheon. Siphoning all of this money. Committing treason. Hunter Biden. Joe Biden. Alejandro Mayorkas. Orchestrating a physical invasion at our southern border. Here comes another fake plandemic. So mask mandates are coming back for your kids in school. Compulsory vaccines. All of your freedoms, all of your liberties, your autonomy itself, the Constitution being trampled on, our election process. Kids being groomed and molested and encouraged to chop off and mutilate their genitals in school without your knowledge, without your consent. Indoctrinated to hate themselves if their skin color is white. The list just goes on and on with all of the atrocities that are happening in this country. And it would be really easy to just pick out a few boogeymen. Democrats, liberals, globalists. Do you know what? Here's the raw truth. None of the things that I just mentioned, and a lot of the things that I haven't. Jan Sixers. No due process. Decades in prison for walking peacefully around the Capitol, escorted by police. All of these things and a whole lot more, all of the worst atrocities in this country could never happen without Republicans and conservatives either collaborating directly or at least meekly submitting to what's going on. Think of Jack Smith's unprecedented sham investigation into President Trump. The House funds the DOJ. In fact, the House funds the entire federal government. So they could very easily say, tough shit. We're not passing a single cent of appropriations as long as this assault on our political system continues. They could grind this entire sham to a screeching halt overnight if they were really serious about seeing this as the destruction of our Constitution that it is. And the same goes for what's unfolding right now in Georgia. Here's what our Constitution has to say about local officials like Fannie Willis. Nothing. Nothing. Our Constitution is not about city or state and federal governments. It's only about the federal government and the states. Not local. Local governments exist entirely at the pleasure of the states that they're a part of. And so that in turn means that Fannie Willis is not some independent actor. She's a county level attorney for the state of Georgia. Georgia has a Republican governor. It has a Republican state house. It has a Republican state senate. And that means a few things. It means that Republican state government could convene right now and defund Fannie Willis's office. That Republican state government could convene and pass a law, making it clear county officials cannot prosecute ridiculous cases like a RICO prosecution for contesting a disputed election. Or Republicans could convene and pass a special bill, simply firing Fannie Willis or completely abolishing her office completely, entirely. The point is, every day that Fannie Willis's case continues, it's happening solely because of the passive acceptance of Georgia Republicans. Colton Moore is working to change that. He wants to change that passiveness into action. He's a member of the Georgia State Senate. He's pushing right now for a special session of the Georgia legislature to defund D.A. Willis and halt her extra constitutional assault on Donald Trump and his inner circle. And by extension, her extra constitutional assault on you. He says what's obvious. yet few are willing to admit. The legal assault on Trump is straight out of a fascist or communist playbook, and it's dragging the entire country toward a civil war. But guess what? So far, Georgia Republicans haven't heeded Moore's call. No, they've rejected it instead. Meanwhile, 1,000 miles away in Texas, lawmakers there in a special session are ready to impeach a top law enforcement official, but in this case, their target is a Republican, MAGA supporter Ken Paxton. That's the GOP in a nutshell for you. Always on the hunt to execute their own and then let their enemies run free. More recently, summed things up this way, quote, "Your daily reminder that my effort for an emergency session in Georgia is being blocked by Georgia Republicans. Not Democrats, not socialists, not Marxists. Nope. It's the Republican establishment that wants us to just sit down and be quiet. No. We must take action now." We couldn't agree more. By the way, this isn't just some strongly worded letter here. This isn't some mean tweet or some grift looking for attention and donations like others from Georgia, like Large Marge, who ran on the premise that she would defeat rhinos and expose them and instead writes $175,000 checks to the rhino establishment, McCarthy-controlled NRCC. Senator Moore is with us now. Am I right? This isn't just some strongly worded letter.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm so sick of, Stu. I'm so sick of elected officials writing these strongly worded letters, and let's try to make the next one more strongly worded, that does absolutely nothing, right? You want to talk about grifters raising money? That's what they're doing. They're posing out letters that are strongly worded so their constituents think they're doing something. What I am doing is calling for a special session and essentially forcing a roll call vote on my fellow Republicans to make a decision whether they stand with Fani Willis and her unconstitutional actions or whether they stand for the rule of law and represent the conservatives that elected them to that position and call for the special session.
This is very simple. It's not about Trump.
It's such a binary decision.
Yeah. It's not about Trump, really, at all. This is about all of us.
It's so much bigger than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than my fellow Republican or my Democrat colleagues. It's so much bigger than the caucus. This is about American freedom, Stu. I mean, my granddad fought real Nazis in World War II, and now we've got Nazis in Atlanta. Okay. And I'm not going to sit back. I'm a fifth generation Georgian and just let these fools take control.
So who's blocking this?
Republicans.
Who?
Republicans are standing in the way right now.
We don't want to speak in generalities. Like who?
Name generalities? Them. Well, let's talk about the, I think it was 25 or so Republicans that wrote this strongly worded letter. First paragraph of that letter recognizes that there's a problem. It says, "Dear constituents, we agree with you. Fani Willis is a rogue actor." And then it's the next paragraph says, "But one of our fellow senators is calling for a special session." And believe it or not, they say that that's disingenuous and a waste of taxpayer dollars spinning our wheels. That's what's in the letter. The next paragraph, what do politicians love to do? They love to point fingers and kick the can down the road. So then they point to this prosecutorial commission that has never met before, that just got voted into law, that hasn't established any rules yet, that's being challenged in the Supreme Court. And they say that commission is going to be the saving grace of all of this. Our job is done. Wipe our hands clean. And then the next paragraph goes on to talk about how Georgia is the number one state for election integrity. I mean, these are the Republicans that I'm dealing with here, Stu.
All led by Governor Kemp, of course, who is
all led by Governor Kemp. And that's where the real fury is beginning right now, is because you've got these so-called conservative Donald Trump supporting senators and representatives who their constituents are calling their phones, they're accosting them at the ball fields, and they don't know what to do because boss Brian Kemp is telling them, you better not sign on to that.
Okay, so I want to back up just for a second here.
Yeah.
You call them Donald Trump supporting representatives, and that's fine. I'm glad that people support Donald Trump because I believe that Donald Trump, the message, was fantastic. 2015, coming down the escalator, 2016, America First Agenda, he spoke into the heart of what all Americans are thinking about this out of control, growing, rapidly growing government that's oppressive to our God-given, inherent, inalienable rights. They're cheaters. They're warmongers. They're all bought off by special interests and big pharma and lobbyists and foreign interests, Israel, China. But this is about being not necessarily a Trump-supporting representative, but how about being a Constitution-supporting representative? How about being a representative Absolutely. That's doing the bidding of the people? How about being a free and fair, real election-supporting representative? How about being a non-murderous, non-thieving, non-corrupt government-supporting representative?
Absolutely. That's exactly the way it is. I mean, we're talking about American freedom right here. You know, Stacey Abrams, who was the gal who ran for governor in Georgia, who still hasn't conceded the election, Hillary Clinton, all of them question the integrity of an election. Okay. We didn't prosecute them because they're Americans. They've got a First Amendment right to question the integrity of an election. But here you've got Donald Trump and these 18 others that are being treated un-American, that are facing the rest of their life in jail for questioning the integrity of an election. And I don't know if you've dug into this indictment or not, but it will make your blood boil at the ridiculousness of some of these charges.
Yeah, we've gone over the indictment. It is absolutely ridiculous. It's unprecedented. By tweeting, President Trump was engaged in a criminal conspiracy by telling people to go watch election integrity hearings on OAN. That was part of him participating in a criminal conspiracy. By him Right. calling lawmakers and asking them to investigate.
One of the acts was against Mark Meadows going to the Cobb County Civic Center and trying to talk with authorities there, even though he wasn't able to have a conversation with them and they pushed him away. That's part of the conspiracy.
Aren't we directed actually that if we have a grievance to go to our government for redress?
I mean, First Amendment, we've got the right to petition the government. Do we not?
Yeah, we have the right to peaceably assemble. We have the right to free speech. Speech is protected in this country, allegedly.
Right.
But it's not. It's not. You can't say certain things. So what does this letter do? I mean, okay, let's just say everybody gets on board. What happens?
Well, if everyone gets on board, Republican-wise, we still need one Democrat over in the Senate. And then they're like, well, there's no way you can ever convince a Democrat. Well, here in Georgia, we've got this Representative Misha Maynor, who is a Democrat out of Fulton County, who's got a tremendous testimony of the horrors of Fannie Willis, who literally like a month ago went from the Democratic Party in Georgia to the Republican Party in Georgia, right? And she's got a strong testimony against Fannie Willis. So we've got an opportunity here to start fighting against Democrats and the Marxists themselves, but we're not there yet because I'm sitting here having to fight with my fellow Republican. You know, the governor himself, without the legislature begging for a special session, he could call the special session himself. He could do it right now. He refuses to do so. Our governor continues to say that Fannie Willis has done nothing wrong, that I'm being crazy because I'm calling for a check and balance. He believes only in separation of powers, but not in a check and balance system of government. I mean, the legislative branch, like you were saying in your opening statements, is the most powerful check and balance because we control the purse strings, right? The legislature gets to decide what the taxes on citizens are going to be and how that money is going to be spent. And I don't know if you've ever been to North Georgia, but you go to North Georgia and you talk to anybody today sweating hard in the Georgia heat for their tax money. They do not want their tax money funding Fannie Willis.
Or funding the McCarthy-controlled NRCC. But this is exactly what Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's got a huge war chest in her district in the name of we're gonna defeat the globalists, we're going to name rhinos, we're going to expose rhinos, we're going to tear down the establishment, and then she props up McCarthy. She's a shill. She's a complete rhino and a sellout. She's a shill. And I don't care about what her fan base is or how many people like to watch her work out on Twitter and, you know, lift weights or do whatever she's doing over here. And, you know, I don't know why Donald Trump supported McCarthy, because here we are, same thing, purse strings, U.S. Congress sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, where it turns out now that Ukrainian spies infiltrated our Capitol building on January 6th. What is really going on with our government, not only at the federal level, but at the state level? What do you call it when Republicans like this are defecting and they're turning their backs on the rule of law in this country and in your state?
Yeah, think about this. You ask what's really going on. Within like a 72-hour time period here in Georgia, we've got the governor, Brian Kemp, caught on hidden camera saying that anyone who comes in contact with a Dominion voting machine could potentially hack it. Okay. And then 72 hours later, we've got this letter from my Senate colleagues saying that we're the number one state for election integrity. So they can't even get their own message straight. I mean, they are scrambling, running like cockroaches.
Who are they? Who do they really represent?
I don't know. Aren't representing each other when they're contradicting one another. One saying that we're the number one state for election integrity. The other saying that our machines can be hacked. But the only thing that they are solid on is not taking action and standing up for the rule of law in our Constitution. I mean, as a legislator, the most bold action that I can take right now, Stu, is calling for the special session. Because as a legislator, I can't do anything unless I'm in session. And then when I'm in session, then I can make the motion to amend the budget and strip Fani Willis of her funds. And they're so dishonest with their constituents, too, because they're like, oh, she only receives $120,000 a year salary. So this is a letter coming from the Speaker of the House of Georgia to all of the representatives, because people are calling up their representatives or saying defund Fani Willis. Well, just tell them that she only receives $120,000 a year. That ought to shut them up. No, people are smarter than that. They recognize the millions of dollars that are going into this lawsuit, and they don't want their tax dollars funding it. So, I don't think they have a plan right now. Honestly, I think a lot of my fellow representatives and senators are afraid to speak out because they are worried now that they're going to be next in prosecution.
Yeah,
they're worried that they're going to be.
A couple of your Republican colleagues have already been named in a criminal proceeding.
That's right. One of my fellow senators. So talk about Nazi Germany. It looks exactly like that. First, they come after your enemies. You don't say anything because they're your enemies. You're like that. And I think that's where our governor is right now. He's like, oh, Donald Trump's my enemy. I'm not going to say anything. He took me down in my political career. Right. Then they come after your friends. Well, I've got friends that are being indicted right now. Fellow senator that's being indicted. And then my fellow senators are like, well, dang, look what they're doing to your enemies. I better not say anything. Well, Stu, who do they come after next? They come after me. They come after you. And at that point, neither our enemies or our friends can speak up for it.
They're coming after all of us. There's no doubt.
No doubt about it.
And right
no
now, doubt about and it. Right now, your arm of government has the opportunity to stand in the way of that and to protect not only the citizens of Georgia, but Americans across the country. That's the truth. I mean, because this persecution, if it's allowed to happen, is going to be a rapid snowball effect, and it's going to sweep this country with indictments and arrests. People like myself who have a program, people who question the whole COVID narrative, people who question elections, people who question the money going to Ukraine, people who question the overtaking of our country by an occupying force that has captured our military and is allowing for a physical invasion to happen at our southern border and the trafficking and child molestation that's happening in our schools. All of these things. If you question, right. If you are a dissident to the authoritarian ushering in of the one world governance that's rapidly approaching us at the hands of this illegitimate pedophile in the White House, guess what? You're next. And if you think that you're not, you're nuts. And by the way, your two colleagues that are being indicted or named in these criminal proceedings, this shouldn't act as a deterrent from them getting on board. This should substantiate all of the reasons why they should get on board.
I mean, absolutely, Stu. If I was indicted right now and a senator, I'd be calling for a special session. That's what I'd be doing. Because that's my legislative prerogative to put a stop to this nonsense. I mean, think about this, Stu. It took 19 days to certify the election results. And this governor's got the audacity to say, oh, you know, they were criminals. They were questioning. And some of these charges in this indictment happened in that 19 days. Okay. They were expressing their First Amendment rights to question the integrity of an election. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious what's going on here. And this is going to go down in history. The governor is going to be known for the rest of Georgia history as the governor who stood by and did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's treasonous, actually. So let me ask you a question. So we know about all of the atrocities. We see all of the problems happening. Anybody with open eyes can see it. Anybody who trusts what their eyes are seeing knows this to be true, that our country is being overtaken. So what if lawmakers in Georgia, you said, are just, they're getting calls all the time, and then they have this line, she only makes $100,000 and some odd. So they've already made up their mind that they're not going to listen to their constituents. They don't care. Right. What right. The people of Georgia are saying, much like our federal government, nobody cares what Americans are saying. They're just going about their business, enriching and empowering themselves and holding on to power as long as possible. So what's the solution? What's the call to action here?
People need to run for office, Stu. Your listeners need to put their name on the ballot and run for office.
But we don't, I mean, the election process The whole reason why you're fighting is because the election process is a sham.
Well, guess what? Now's the time to take action, because if we allow this to go on any further, it's a lost cause. Now's the opportunity. You've picked out the rhinos. What I've done calling for this special session is a roll call vote, right? You can see very clearly now, with evidence, public evidence, on who's with me, who's against me, who's standing up and who's not. And if you see that, if you see that your state senator or your representative is not standing up, then guess what? When you call them, they're giving you nonsense answers. What is your job and role at that point as a free loving American? Your job should be to run for office and challenge these guys. That's what you got to do. The system is structured in a way that solves all of our problems as Americans in a peaceful way. The legislative, right? The three branches of government that we have. And if we're not using those judicial means of solving our problems, and we're going to let this rogue judicial system in Georgia take over, then not to speak is to speak.
But isn't the entire legal system and judiciary also compromised?
Well, I need some help, Stu. That's what I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Because right now it's me, one other senator, and one other House rep in the state of Georgia. That's it.
Well, I think you're going to get the help. That's a pretty well-documented opinion of mine. I think that you're going to get the help. I don't think it's the help that you think you're going to get, but I think you're going to get a massive groundswelling explosion of assistance in upcoming times, because guess what? People can only be pushed so far. People
That's right.
can only
That's right.
have their freedoms and liberties and autonomy stolen from them for so long. People will only allow assault on their children for a fraction of a second, and it's ongoing.
I think your folks, and I ask this question to my fellow legislator all the time. Where do you draw the line in the sand? Where's it at? Is it when they indict your grandmother? Is it when they indict your child? Is it when they indict your neighbor? Where do you draw the line in the sand? When they come after your aunt because she was speaking at a school board meeting on behalf of, you know, your niece about some transgender nonsense? You know, at what point do you draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to defend American freedom and liberty. And that's a question we all need to be asking ourselves. And I'll tell you what, I've drawn my line in the sand. Seeing the actions of Fani Willis, I will not yield, Stu. I will not stop calling for a special session until we find ourselves in session. And when we get into session, I will be demanding a roll call vote to defund Fani Willis. There's no other action that I could take.
Has to be done. Absolutely has
to be
done.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for your efforts, Colton Moore.
Any of your listeners in Georgia, I just encourage you, continue putting pressure on your senators and representatives. You think your calls are going unanswered. You think your calls are being unheard. They're working. These guys have never experienced this type of pressure before. It's causing them to go to the microphone and make those ridiculous statements that we've seen in the last week. So I just encourage your listeners, Stu, just to keep after it. Keep the pressure on.
Keep calling. Show up in person. Find out where they like to go dine. See if you could sit next to them at a table. We have to openly, in person, shame, ridicule, and mock these people and demand that they're held to account to the constituents that they swore an oath to go and represent in what is supposed to be a two-party representative form of government. And they're not doing
That's
it.
Right.
They're part of the
That's
uniparty.
Right.
They're part of a swamp. They're part of an establishment. And they may as well just be working for Fani Willis's office at this point, because they're actively allowing for a president, a former sitting president, to be prosecuted on fake charges 100% as an overtaking a Marxist coup that's happening in this country. And we do need to get in their faces. Absolutely. 1,000% get in their faces. Be a Colton Moore. Thank you again. God bless you, sir.
Dude, thanks.
Filtersuck.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems. Whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust shedding from your pet or vaccinated neighbors, mRNA spike protein shedding, Filtersuck.com has solutions for every scenario, at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7. So now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's Filtersuck.com. Use promo code STU for 10% off when you go to Filtersuck.com. I really wish I didn't have to bring you this disgusting news. But you know that holster company that I've been working with as a sponsor for the past 4 months, Vanish Holsters, they've just been banned. Yeah, even though they're legally allowed to purchase it, Amazon, Google, and Facebook just banned it for sale to more than 7.7 million Americans who live in a certain state. Now, the good news is they can't stop me or us from getting it in their hands, or in your hands, for that matter. Now, crazy enough, the reason that it was banned is because that holster, Vanish holster, enhances the concealment of a weapon better than just about any other holster on the market. And even better, it works with 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. Best of all, using my link, you get it for $40 off. So lock in your special pricing right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. Again, that's vnsh.com/stew. Again, vnsh.com/stew. Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com. So for the past 80 years, almost a century, America's global dominance has been built on the dominance of the U.S. dollar. That's a fact. The dollar is by far the most traded international currency. When a country buys oil from another country, the vast majority of the time, that oil purchase is made in dollars. Even if neither the buyer nor the seller actually uses the dollar as its currency, it's relevant. Doesn't matter. You're buying that oil, you're using the petrodollar. By itself, the sheer demand for the U.S. dollar overseas probably boosts the U.S. economy by several percent, at least. But you see, all of this power is in danger, imminent danger. Thanks to the intentionally reckless, destructive, power-hungry, illegitimate, pedophilic Biden regime. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which we set up, we implemented, we planned, we provoked with our own refusal to negotiate, plus the desire to bury all of the bodies, all of the bioweapons labs, all of the taxpayer funding of oligarchs and rich elites, siphoning this off, NGOs, Lockheed. The Biden regime tried to systematically cancel Russia out of the global financial system, using this proxy war as its excuse. Well, they failed. But you see, the fact that they tried has spooked dozens of countries around the world. And we should talk about why did they really have the motivation to kick Russia out and to cancel them out of the world's financial system? Well, of course, because Vladimir Putin looks to be the only man standing between what's left of the free world and whatever this one world governance is that's rapidly approaching. Yeah, they kicked the central banks out of that country, the Rothschild banking system. They told them, get bent. So, of course, the U.S. tried to kick them out of the financial system because the U.S. relies on that corruption in order to prop up the empire of lies. Well, they failed, thankfully. But the fact that they tried, again, spooked all of these countries around the world. So they look at the arrogance of Washington and they wonder, hey, when might we become a target? We have a resource that Washington craves. Or we've refused to accept gay marriage or homosexuality, see Uganda, or child tranny surgeries or some other atrocity. And they're thinking, hey, we need to take America down a peg. Enter the BRICS. Brazil and Russia and India and China and South Africa. Five major middle-income economies. All of them have something to gain if America is less powerful. All of them want to take down the global homo empire of America and its gay allies. And now, as of last month, they're expanding. BRICS are now admitting Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Ethiopia. So these additions will mean that BRICS will control a huge share of what? Global oil production. Not to mention close to half of the world's population and more than a third of its total economy. And so if these oil producers announce, hey, we're not trading oil on the U.S. dollar anymore, we'll have to go along with it. And that'll be a huge blow, probably the final blow to American prosperity. All of it is completely avoidable. we weaponized the U.S. dollar, and now we're going to pay. If we lose the world's demand for dollars, the dollar's value imminently declines, of course. After all, we have absolutely nothing backing the value of our currency. Not gold, not silver, not anything except for the world's collective hallucination that the dollar is valuable. Even a small decline is bad, but what if it collapses? Well, then we just don't have Biden inflation, we have hyperinflation. Cash savings will become worthless almost overnight. The destruction of America or the transformation of America into this dysfunctional Latin-style country will be complete. And that'll probably actually, it's very obviously intentional. After all, dysfunctional Latin American countries are rarely true democracies. They're oligarchies with a well-entrenched elite, and that's exactly what our own elites crave for this country. Caroline Cain knows a lot about that. She's a Christian. She's an America First constitutional conservative. She's running for Congress in the 7th District of Texas. Go look her up. She's also the successful CEO of Prosperity Management Services, so she knows a little bit about how the economy works, and she joins us now. Caroline, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Stu. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So, I mean, do you agree that what we're looking at here is the intentional precipice of the collapse of the U.S. dollar?
It is absolutely intentional. And I also feel like our media is, you know, a part of this in keeping America in the dark, because 9 out of 10 people that you meet with and talk to on a daily basis have no idea that the dollar is under attack and that truly it's being propped up artificially, that this double A plus rating that we have isn't truly double A plus. We are being manipulated to no end. And I think you said it was avoidable. I think at this point it is unavoidable. And I don't know, it's a big concern for me because I don't know what can be done to stop it.
What does America look like here in my city of Minneapolis, in Texas where you are? What does America look like on the streets, in the home, in the neighborhoods when the U.S. dollar collapses?
You know, I don't know. My biggest concern is that we wake up in the morning and that there is no money in our bank accounts, because the Fed, as you know, is a part of this, right? They're the ones who want to keep all of this on the hush hush so that Americans don't panic and pull their money out. It's all being held up by a house of cards.
So do you think that's imminent? I mean, is it going to happen? One day we're going to wake up, poof, everything is gone?
I don't see how else it plays out. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but I don't see how.
Well, no, I think it's imminent as well. We warn about the great financial reset constantly. So a way to protect people, you know, we say, hey, buy physical gold and silver. We tell people, hey, you don't even own your IRAs. You check into that. Ask your financial advisor what your investment package is built around. People are shocked to find out that they're invested into BlackRock and Pfizer and that they're funding our own demise.
That's right. And so I'm going to throw this out there while I've got everybody on the line. If you have a 401k, roll it into the cash equivalent so that it's not invested in the stock market, because that is also being artificially propped up. So all of this money that is being traded by these BRICS nations is being traded outside of the Bank of International Settlements. And you referred to that, right? Saying that, you know, the dollar has been what's traded on every economy. So if China has bought something from Russia 5 years ago, it went through the Bank of International Settlements, became a petrodollar, and then moved on to their economy. And it doesn't work like that anymore with these huge nations. We are most definitely affected. So that our money, you know, is being manipulated. So is the stock market. BlackRock and Vanguard, I don't know what their future looks like. If it's up to them, you know, they're on top of the world and we all own nothing. That's really how it's supposed to play out, right? That is the great reset that we're all fighting against. So get your money out of a 401k. And they have these gold and silver IRAs that you can roll it into. And that's what's wise. Assets is what is wise, not cash in the bank.
Caroline, do you agree that it's, you know, completely obvious the reasons why, you know, the countries that have been added, you know, Argentina maybe, but Saudi Arabia, Iran, the UAE, that these are all of the world's top oil producers, despite the fact that we absolutely could be indisputably the top oil producer. I mean, we could be sufficient and self-sustained all on our own here, but that's another intentional plot to tear down the country.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, the OPEC nations are all conspiring together to bring down the United States. And it is in their best interest, right? We have been the great oppressors. That's something that we didn't know for a very long time. We are the great oppressors. We do this and we go into this nation in the name of democracy. And what we have done is oppress and oppress and oppress. So they're angry with us, obviously for good reason. Saudi Arabia will be the nail in the coffin. So we got to keep an eye on the day that Saudi Arabia, they have announced their intention to join BRICS, but apparently they're only bringing on five nations at a time. And UAE and Saudi Arabia, I guess, have some bad blood between them. So they're kind of throwing a tizzy about both of them joining at the same time, although I think that that's also inevitable. So Saudi Arabia, that economy alone, we got to watch that, because I'm telling you, that's the nail in the coffin. It will be the final blow to the United States dollar.
So you mentioned the media keeping this, you know, really hush hush, so as to not panic the majority of Americans, who absolutely would panic if they knew this. I mean, if this segment gets shared with the majority of the people that live in this country, and they go do their own research and they find out, hey, everything that these two were talking about is absolutely true, we may not even have a dime that we've worked hard to earn and even harder to save to set up a future for our children or pay for college or have a retirement home or just a nest egg to spend while you live out the final years of your natural life here on Earth. When you go and you talk to people in your 7th district of Texas, for example, where you're running for Congress, do people understand this? Are they starting to wake up to this? Are they starting to see that, hey, we have a corporate crime syndicate, not so much a federal government, and they're going to rob and steal and take our children and indoctrinate them and program them and take our money, of course.
I think about 80% at this point actually understand that there is some kind of narrative at play. I'm only going to say about 25 to 30% understand the problem with BRICS. How threatened our way of life truly is by these five nations. And it's my understanding is it's 63 nations. So brought on five at a time, eventually it's 63 nations, which is two-thirds of the world.
So if we had a Congress that was actually representative of the people, doing the bidding of the people, actually cared about putting America first and upholding the rule of law and enforcing the Constitution and all of these things, which we don't have that right now, make no mistake.
Right.
But if we did, with just a couple of minutes left here, what could Congress do to get in the way of this immediate imminent threat?
We need to be gold and silver backed. Our money is unconstitutional. You know that. We need to go back to the Constitution and everything that it says, roll back all of this legislation that got us to where we are. And so I've got this whole plan. If you want to find it, it's on Twitter. Not finished. I think it's nine parts now, but it's repealing legislation that got us to this point. And it's garbage legislation, because anything that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. So you just declare it null and void. You don't even have to repeal it. It's repugnant to the Constitution. It needs to be just thrown out of the window. So that starts with the act of Congress, you know, bringing in the Fed, the IRS, and then 1971, when we got rid of the gold standard. All of those things are unconstitutional. And that's what got us here, right? That was the wake up call for everybody, is when they started, you know, actually taking action against us, against the Constitution.
Yeah.
We have all of these rights that are supposed to be, you know, unalienable, endowed by our creator. Where are they? Well, Congress got rid of them. And so, I'm livid. I'm fed up with Congress. I'm fed up with the government. We are infiltrated at every level. So we need grassroots people that are just everyday Americans like me, who have some balls to stand up and take this government back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I could not agree more. This is directly in line with, you know, what the Constitution says to do for a form of government that becomes oppressive to your God-given, not congressionally given, not
right.
given by Joe Biden, not given by Donald Trump, not given by Ronald Reagan, who, by the way, gave us unfettered illegal immigration, practically destroying his home state of California. All of these so-called heroes that the press props up and pushes in your face, they're not the ones that give you your rights. God gave us our rights. They are inalienable. They are inherent. All of these things. And that goes in line with all of that. So if you do want a representative with balls, figuratively speaking, of course, and if you want to learn, if you
yes.
want to learn the plan, what we have to say these days, I guess,
we do.
Right? I mean, I'm not going to ask you your pronouns, but I think it's pretty clear. So we do have plans, and you have a very, and you know what, this whole deal with Congress, you know, just abolish the Fed. Abolish it completely. And then,
yes!
And then arrest most of its agents, likely. The same with the IRS. Declare them a terrorist criminal organization and then treat them accordingly. As a matter of fact, the IRS could actually be declared enemy combatants. That would be interesting with how we handle those people.
Along with many, many, many other agencies that have been weaponized against us.
You never lied. Caroline King, go find her on Twitter. Find the plan. What is, by the way, your Twitter handle so people can go look?
Caroline Kane TX, and my last name is K-A-N-E. So Caroline Kane TX.
And where do people support your campaign if they aren't going to go broke doing it and they wish to do so?
Yeah, even $5, $20, whatever you can afford. I so appreciate it. It's www.carolinekaneforcongress.com. And I own the four and I own the F-O-R. So spell it however you like.
CarolineKaneForCongress.com. Get there right now and support this wonderful woman with a plan to help to try to save our country that seems to be in imminent danger. And thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stu. Have a good night.
What does the federal government do with your tax dollars? They waste billions in Ukraine. They give over $2,000 a month to illegal aliens invading our country. They murder scores of Americans with the corona hoax bioweapon jabs. They cheat in the elections and take away your voice. And when you complain about it, like the peaceful protests on January 6th, they put you in prison, torture you, and make up phony indictments against you. The enemy wants you to be a powerless slave that shuts up and does as you are told. But there is a way out of this tyranny. Freedom Law School has been teaching Americans for over 27 years that no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. None of their students who have stopped paying have gone to prison or had their bank account and property stolen by the IRS. Go to freedomlawschool.org today to take 5 steps to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Totally free to set you free. Go to freedomlawschool.org today.
At some point, we've all been sold a big lie, including yours truly. It's called the protein lie. Starting in the 1980s, supplement companies began pushing massive protein consumption. We all believed that more protein equaled more muscle growth. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie. No surprise. Let's say that you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 40 grams of protein. However, just because something contains 40 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. No, without enzymes, most of it ends up in your toilet bowl. So if you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial that you take a high-quality enzyme. The one that I trust and use myself is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more proteins than any other commercially available, with 5 different kinds of proteins. You can try it today, risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. When you go to bioptimizers.com/stu, be sure to enter the coupon code StuPeters10 to get an extra 10% off of your order at bioptimizers.com/stu.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. They will give you headaches, make you depressed, and even angry if they don't get what they want. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.